Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Scanline Tabletop. I am your returning Game Master, Six Detmar, and I'm joined by my two best friends, my dog and my cat.
Oof. Meow.
That was a good bit that was worth everyone's time. I'm also joined by Jen and Kyrie.
Hey, I'm Jennifer Uncle.
I'm Kyrie Page.
You two crazy kids are foundational members of Scanline Media and of Starsung Distance, our ongoing sci-fi mecha role-playing game campaign.
Damn, it's true.
Yeah, as seen on TV.
Mm-hmm. And also as seen on TV, damn, scheduling is weird right now.
Yes.
No, literally as seen on TV. Look at your TVs. You'll understand what I mean.
Scheduling is all over the goddamn place.
So with that in mind, we have decided to start up a sort of a side campaign, a secondary campaign we can run with just the three of us, who have more availability than trying to get together a squad of five people, because what is wrong with us? Why did we? It was really great to get Alan on, and Alan adds a lot to that that campaign. But man, now scheduling's so bad. And also, we have done so far two campaigns for Scanline Tabletop, and they've both been sci-fi. And so why don't we kick it to some fantasy, right?
Some dark fantasy, if you will.
Kyrie?
Yes.
We're going to draw some lines and veils right now. Don't get too kinky on me, all right?
Oh.
It's inappropriate.
Okay.
What? Listen, you're allowed to mention, but I don't want details.
Okay. All right. Hey, I get you.
I normally don't kink shame people, but I know that shame is your kink, so I'm trying to help you out here.
Yep.
Beam Saber, which is the game we're playing for Starsung Distance, is a hack of Blades in the Dark. And Blades in the Dark was one of the games that was in the bundle for racial equality that Itch put out. Of like over 1,000 different games and pieces of software and stuff. So anybody who contributed to that now has access to the game we're playing, Blades in the Dark by John Harper. And it's also, since it has so much in common with Beam Saber, it shouldn't be too bad of a adjustment for Jennifer. For Kyrie, it shouldn't be too bad at all because you've played this before.
Yes, I have played a little bit of Blades in the Dark before. Funny story, I accidentally nearly took my Blades in the Dark character sheet to a job interview. So, yeah, I'm familiar with this game.
Wow, fair enough. I am also rather familiar with this game. But in a literal first for me, I have never done this in any role-playing game. Well, yeah, no, I've never done this in any role-playing game before, ever. I'm going to use the setting that's in the book.
How could you do this?
So it's a twofold decision. One is the fact that I was setting this up on less notice than I usually have for a campaign. And then the other is, since everybody, like a whole ton of people, just got a copy of this game, wouldn't it be cool if everyone had like an encyclopedia for this world at their fingertips to help them understand the game we're playing? That seems like a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And statistically speaking, practically everyone in the world bought that bundle, so no excuses not to own a copy of this.
So if you're ready to enter the world of Duskvol, here we go. It is a city, a haunted city, full of you know, corruption and the disparity between the rich and the poor, shitty law enforcement. God, what would we know about that?
What would we know about that?
Ghosts, the void, sea. It's a spooky place with lots of crime. And we're going to start off by introducing your two characters. Kyrie, you're the voice of experience. Can you lead us off?
Absolutely. I am playing Meyer Skorka. Their alias is Shimmer. They are from the Tetraros region, and if you're looking in the character sheet, the playbook I'm playing from is Whisper. So they are a semi-professional ghost hunter who just spends a little bit too much time with the ghosts. They are of a wiry disposition and have a very long scarf and deep, deep black eyes.
Sick. How did you get into the world of ghost hunting? How did that happen for you?
I think it was just like Myers always had like an obsession with the dead. Like they, oh, and the pronouns are they, them. They have always just always had this ability to channel spirits and wanted to know, like, once you learn about like the spirits and the world in which they come from or where we are destined to go to, like, there's no stopping that obsession.
Cool. So, and so you sort of came at this from an academic perspective and have sort of gone, I guess I can't say less academic because ghosts are extremely real in this setting, but let's say more field academic than some of your peers.
Absolutely.
Excellent. And you have made the acquaintance of Jennifer's character over here.
Yeah. My character is Scully Booker. Goes by the alias Miss. She's from Akoros. Her background is mostly in labor because she's been helping out at the family's tavern for a pretty long time. And, she's tall, muscular, has purple haircut. It's into, like, a striped buzz on top. And her whole thing is being a cutter. So she ended up meeting, Meyer, when Meyer was kind of just, I think, dropped by and mentioned that they were a ghost hunter. And, it's basically an odd job for me, so I've picked up some stuff in terms of being able to fist fight ghosts, but I'm still fairly new to this whole thing.
And as we're starting out, you listener at home may observe that these don't exactly sound like career criminals, and that's true. Blaze in the Dark is a game about career criminals, but, you know, everybody's got to get their start somewhere. And so as we're starting this campaign, y'all don't have a crew. Y'all are just two people who do jobs here and there. And maybe over the course of this job you're about to do, it will become a crew situation. This is not on rails. I guess it's possible that y'all will just choose to do your job quietly and then go home and retire. Which would really leave me at a loss, but that's how it goes sometimes. But that said, so you two are citizens. You live in the docks region, generally, of Duskvale, which is, you know, it's originally was sort of the colony town when this town first got started way back in the day. And now it's, you know, bustling with like commerce and you know, all the ships and the business of industry. It's like it's lower income, but not like really out and out poor compared to a lot of the city, which is pretty desolate. Not desolate. The opposite. This is a city with some serious income disparity, and so the places that are poor are really poor. And obviously, you mentioned Scully. Your family has a tavern in the area. Meyer, I don't know if you just have like an apartment over there. Does that sound right?
Yeah. Like their acquaintance. Like so, in this game, you can choose acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
And their acquaintance is Quailin, a witch, and I imagine that they live together.
Okay, that makes sense. And I could see like. I think Quellen maybe does other business, but in order to sort of pay the rent, a lot of times they end up doing like, you know, like blessings for like sailors going out to sea and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I mean, fuck, just take a stupid sailor's money if they want to be superstitious. Who cares?
Exactly.
In
the setting in which ghosts are real.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, but part of ghosts being real is it lends credence to people's superstitions, and so they see ghosts even when ghosts aren't there, right?
Exactly.
If ghosts are real, then when you place your pen on the table and it rolls off the table, and you look back and your pen's gone, you're like, a ghost took it. It's like, no, gravity took it, you moron.
But I'll gladly take your money.
Exactly, exactly.
I have exercised the pen, woo!
And so y'all are now subject to what might be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is a job that, Meyer, you had to, like, triple-check that this was on the level, because it really, really sounded too good to be true, because you have received a job in White Crown.
Oh.
White Crown is sort of is part of Duskvale, technically. It's the island separated from the rest of the city where all the really rich people live. Generally, poor people aren't even allowed over here. If you tried to cross the bridge, the guards would beat the hell out of you. There are armored Imperial soldiers walking the streets. Everything, like, the streets are, like, polished in areas. They're marble. There's, a lot of warm electric lighting in a city where a lot of times the streets are not lit or lit by, like, oil. This is easily the wealthiest part of the city. And the idea that you two, a pair of fairly amateur ghost hunters, would get a job over here seemed extremely improbable.
Yeah, and I imagine we do what we can to slightly dress up for the affair, but that's in the form of, like, slightly tattered suits and putting on a cap just so that the purple lightning hair isn't too noticeable around the more well-to-do people.
That's for you to say. I think I am in my usual, like, get-up of a big cloak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if they called for you, they called for you. They don't get to choose how you dress,
exactly.
Right?
Fuck them.
And I think you were called, so you were told specifically, like, to find your way around White Crown, because, of course, you wouldn't know your way around White Crown. How the hell would you? You have been called to a music hall that is not very big. It's sort of a small, like, compact little place. And for directions, you were told it was right next to Parliament. And the big Parliament building is extremely noticeable. So that's your landmark as you are walking the streets here. Your client has said that they have a ghost problem, obviously. And upon, like, they asked for you because they wanted someone who was discreet. And they were like, we want, you know, we don't want it ever to be known that there was a ghost problem or that anyone dealt with it, right? Because a lot of the more elite ghost hunters will use it as a promotion opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I conquered the ghost of Duna Hall. And it's like, shut up. Shut the fuck up. So your client says that's why they went to you, even though you're relatively unknown. And you did your research, and they seem on the level. You have crossed the bridge into White Crown, and the streets are, as I mentioned, they're bustling with, like, Imperial guards who are, like, maintaining a very regal composition or composure. But, like, if you got across the bridge, you belong here, basically. So they're not, like, they're not even looking at you. They don't care. There are, like, you know, some, like, rich carriages going by with, you know, like, passengers inside and, you know, like, elaborate clothes, like, laughing and chatting with each other. The docks nearby the bridge are bustling with, like, rather large, like, merchant trading vessels that are, you know, like, well decorated, and, like, some personal yachts. And the floor is yours, you two.
So what do you think? Should we do a little bit of sightseeing since we're not over here very often, or just head straight to where we're supposed to go?
Well, we were hired to do a job, so I think we should do that.
Oh,
I would like to be paid.
Fair enough. Yeah, we should. I guess we'll head right over there and see what's what.
Okay. So you head on over, you're walking down the streets, and it is like, it feels really alien, right? And I think just as flavor, if you're trying, if you in during the course of this job, if you're trying to do any like street smart kind of moves, you're going to be at a disadvantage because you're like, is this a street? Is this like what? It feels like you have been inside like government buildings and stuff. And the outside here, the streets feel like you're inside an empty government building. It's just bizarre. It doesn't feel like any city you've ever been in before. But you managed to get your way there with a, like, I think Scully, like, traditionally you sort of have to, like, shoulder your way past, you know, like, people that, like, crowds and stuff that gather. Or, you know, like, you have to, like, stare down some toughs on the street or something. And it's just like, no. You get a few stares from, you know, like some rich people who haven't necessarily gotten the message, but like the second you glance at them, they just hurry off. It's very strange. And you arrive at the Parliament Theater next to Parliament. Clearly a sweet gig. Can I get a very easy survey roll from, I'm gonna say from Meyer, because Meyer seems like the more academic sort.
Yeah, like the very first thing like they would do is like take a look around and start trying to detect the arcane.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this will probably just be for free as part of that, but go ahead and roll survey then for me. And you said you're specifically trying to attune with our like arcane presences and stuff.
Well, that's an attune roll at that point.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, okay, so
I mean, it's the same for like, I have the same number of points in survey and attune, so
yeah, you'll get different things depending on what you're using. I guess are you trying to like
first,
the supernatural leaves signs in the physical world that you would notice. Are you looking for those first, or are you trying directly to use the supernatural?
I'm gonna look for like physical signs first, like, you know,
okay,
like the physical presence of the arcane and of the dead. They leave subtle but noticeable marks
for sure. Go ahead and roll 2d6, take the higher.
And I have to ask this, what's my position?
This is, I'll make this controlled standard.
I got a 3.
Okay. A 3 is what we call in the business a failure. But this is controlled, so it's not that big a deal. The one thing you notice, the thing I give you for free, is that, the Parliament Theater is not actually the Parliament Theater. It's the Parliament Theater. The L is a capital I, presumably to avoid directly calling themselves the Parliament Theater and getting Parliament mad at them.
So it's like how on Twitter, if you want to imitate a letter that's taken, you just use a capital I instead of an L.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Incredible. Yep.
And just like studying at the font, you're like, wait a second. What a weird thing to do. So otherwise, the things you notice, the place is like, places around here like don't have a bunch of people milling outside, right? But you can tell that this place has not seen as much activity. It seems like it's on the quieter side. Like there would be like signs of use, like, you know, a lot of, you know, like the entryways would be like, have like dirt or something that would be used. And it's the, like, this place has even some, like some dust on the sort of like entry. They'll sort of like, there's an overhang leading up to the door. So clearly this place has not seen a lot of activity lately. Which is not like it's abandoned necessarily. It could just be like, okay, well, maybe the ghost is having a lot of success. The other thing you note is that there are not a lot of lights on. And otherwise, the negative consequence, I am going to keep close to the chest for the moment.
Okay.
Awesome.
How can I reveal, like, what has been going on here? Because they say that there's a ghost problem, and I want to, like, expose, like, I want to, like, get a basic idea as to what kind of problem we're dealing with, because I haven't been informed as to, mm-hmm. like, I've just been told there's a ghost, and I was like, okay, rich people need ghost exorcism as much as anyone else, I guess.
I think you would have some, so some of it you're just going to need to, like, you need to move inside or do an attune or something, but I will give you more information than I have so far, because I don't think, like, part of you doing research and making sure this is on the level, because it seemed like so suspicious that you'd be given this job, is you would not come just because someone said, hey, ghost, you would need more than that, right?
Yes, I would need something to, like, more than, like, unless it's a very, very well-off person, like, screaming ghost, and I just think, oh, this is an easy mark.
Sure, but even then, I mean, like, you didn't meet them in person, you met them through a messenger,
uh-huh.
right? And, like, how do you know it's not the town drunk pretending to be, you know? So,
exactly.
I think the details you have is that this is the theater's, not the theater's owner, but the theater's steward, who says that they've been having trouble with booking acts. The acts who have been trying to perform at the theater have said that the place is haunted. There have been incidents of them of the musicians getting injured, and the harmonics have been weird, and not just like harmonics like, oh no, our music sounds bad, like they play a song and just a completely different song happens.
Okay, so what do you think, Meyer? Should we get on top of the stage and do a little bit of classic theater, see what happens?
Scully definitely plays guitar, right? Or is it drums?
I'd say guitar sounds good.
Okay.
How about you do that, and I actually do the work?
All right. Suits me just fine.
Here's this guitar.
All right.
Enjoy.
I love that Meyer is the one who came prepared with a guitar.
I keep I have a comically large cloak, and just whatever I need in that particular moment, it's in there.
So it's time for you two to declare a load, I think.
Okay.
Light, normal, and heavy.
I guess I'd be light, considering the circumstances.
Would you? I feel like you always want to go light. I feel like I could tell you that you were storming the beach at Normandy and you'd say light.
Fine, but let's just do normal then.
Okay. What about you, Meyer?
I think normal as well. This is just like, this is a standard job. I don't need anything special for this. I don't know why I had a guitar with me, but let's pretend I did.
Well, you knew you were, I mean, you knew what the nature of the job, right?
Yeah.
You knew you were going to a musical theater where the music acts weird, and you know that Scully plays guitar. I think it's not that weird of a stretch to be like, oh, hey, Scully, here's how you investigate this for me.
Yeah.
So, I'm assuming you enter then?
Yes.
We do.
Okay. Tell me about this. Are you just sort of like just walking up the front door and just sort of pushing it open and strolling inside, or do you have a particular approach? Like, I've got to confess something here. I'm not a professional ghost hunter. I know I've been lying to you this whole time. So I don't know if it's like, oh, we want to enter stealthily or the ghost will see us, or if you're like, oh, you've got to enter boldly with authority so the ghost knows you mean business, or you have to do some ritual so that the ghost is warded off. I don't know how this works.
Well, I think our plan involves playing a guitar on stage, so like it or not, we're going to be addressing the ghost directly before we even see them, I imagine. So I'd say we just... Maybe we knock, and then if no one answers, we just head in.
Okay. Yeah, I think definitely no one answers. And, like, the knock feels, like, weirdly muffled, right? It feels kind of like you're knocking on... It's like something is pressing against the door. Because the sound of the knock doesn't carry at all. Like there's a blanket against it or something. But you open the door and there's no such thing. It's just open room. The entryway is very lowly lit, by just some constantly running electric lights. Presumably there's like a way to turn on like main power. This is just sort of like, hey, when no one's here, we have some constantly running low level lights. And those are what's on. And then, you're in the lobby. The lobby feeds directly into the auditorium. There are, like, passageways to either side. And then in the auditorium, the stage is well-lit, and there is very, very light lighting over the audience, as though you might be ready for a performance.
Well, if things are already set in terms of AV, might as well just stroll in, right?
I would like...
Okay.
I would like to talk to, are any of the performers still here?
When you walked in, you didn't see anyone. And whoever your contact was, like, didn't meet you at the door or anything. But there is more, there's the backstage area, there are side wings where, like, management and stuff would be. So it could be just that they didn't expect you this early, or they forgot the time or something. But, you have not encountered anyone. If you want to look for someone, we can do that.
I want to talk to a stagehand, because the stagehands, the people behind the scenes, they know what shit's really going on.
Okay. That sounds like a hunt to me, given the circumstances that you're not aware of.
Okay, and it seems like I'm better at searching for people than Myers by a little bit, so...
Okay, if you wanna roll your 1d6 then and let me know what you get.
Okay.
And I will just say ahead of time, if this doesn't go as well as it seems like it should given your roll, remember that you have a looming failure.
A looming failure? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Meyer failed a roll, and that hasn't really taken effect. Or rather, it has. You just haven't physically encountered the consequences of
well,
it.
Well, I got a 3.
Okay. So I think you head into the area and, you know, it's like things are lit as though for a performance, which is like that's a little odd. You'd think they'd be low lights all around. So you sort of duck to the side. You do a little bit of scouting and you figure out that sort of like left side or right side of the stage is where like stage hands and like the lower level staff are. The left side is sort of where management is. And you're looking for a stagehand, so you go to the right side instead. And there are a lot of, like, there are rooms. There, it seems like they have, like, bunks and stuff for, like, if a stagehand, like, if a performance is, like, particularly busy, the stagehands have setups to, like, stay overnight if they need to for work. But generally, this is a richer part of town. They stayed home. But you do find that there is a, one of the doors is, like, a lot of them are locked, but one of them isn't locked, but it is blocked. Like, you turn the handle, and it turns, and then you push on it, and it won't open. Like, there's something blocking it.
I just, call in to the beak. Hey, is anyone here? We came to exterminate... Well, we came to check out a ghost problem.
Nothing.
Okay. What do you think, Meyer? Should we push this door in? Should we try and break this door down?
We probably shouldn't try and break the door down. I think... All right. Let's go back into the auditorium.
Okay.
It seems like nobody is here. So let's go back into the auditorium and I can start looking for ectoplasmic residents.
When you arrive in the auditorium, the lighting has changed. Not a lot, but the stage is now a little less well lit, and the audience is a little bit better lit.
Hmm. Do you think that you should go sit in the audience while I get on stage?
Well, I could sit, but I could also do my job. So, why don't you just go ahead and perform, and I'll start figuring out what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, that works.
And I start fiddling with my scarf, because the scarf is full of, like, shorthand, basically, for various, like, rituals and stuff that I can do. For me to, like, I want to start attuning myself to, like, the resonance of the ghosts here.
Okay. So I would like two rolls from you. Scully, you are making a risky standard attune. Meyer, you are making a controlled limited sway with your guitar.
Well, you mean Scully is
with
making...
Meyer's guitar.
You mean I'm attuning and Scully...
Yes, I said that backwards, yes. Didn't I?
Oh, what am I supposed to be rolling then?
You are rolling sway, which you have zero in, so it's 2d6, take the lower.
Okay. Oof. I got a 1 and a 3, and there's a text at the bottom that says 0 dice, take the lowest result above.
Okay. And can we get an attune from Meyer?
Was it, you said it was risky, or?
Yes, risky standard.
I got it, 2.
So far we've had 4 rolls and every single one of them has been a failure.
Excellent start.
Uh-huh. I'm gonna say Scully first, because I think playing the guitar takes less work than the setup for a tune. And also, Meyer is attempting to attune to the consequences of your playing, plus what else is already there. So I think you go up and you just start strumming, and you're playing like a general, like, tavern, like, folk song, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, you work in a tavern, and that's the kind of music you heard all the time, so you learned. And at first it's like you start to think that your guitar is a little out of key, right? Because it sounds a little bit off. And then your guitar starts to sound more like a lyre. And then it starts to sound like a violin. And then the notes you're playing start to have nothing to do with the notes that are coming out. And it's a completely different song.
Huh. Okay, not sure what's happening here, but I guess I'll keep playing.
And in the distance, you hear like a metallic, like, clicking, thunking kind of sound that, like, isn't very loud, but this place is so empty that it really carries.
Do you want...
And also, it has great harmonics.
So... Meyer, do you want to find out where the hell that noise is coming from?
Working on it.
let's figure out what happens with Meyer's attune, shall we? So talk to me about the process of your attune. Like, obviously, you're getting the stuff from the scarf. Is it like reagents? Are you, like, forming, like, a summoning circle? Are you, like, what? How does this work?
I basically find a, like, place on the ground, like, is it carpeted?
No, it's a very, very thin carpeting, so that it, like, it's not, it's basically, it's for harmonics purposes, right? It's like, it's not so thick that it'll absorb a bunch of sound, but it's not hard enough to reflect it either, so it's a very light carpeting. Almost like felt, but nicer.
Because I was going to say, like, I use chalk in order to, like, make a summoning circle.
I think you could draw on this.
Okay. So I keep, like, a supply of chalk to create, like, an arcane circle. And, kind of start, like, you know, like, mumbling some, occult words in order to, like, activate the circle. And when translated, it's like, it's basically me saying, whoever is here, show yourself.
So we got a few things here. As you're doing this, you're hearing the music change, and you're like, okay, so this checks out. This is indeed what's happening. And like, it's unusual, right? This is a fairly artistic effect for a ghost, but it's not like outside of the realm of possibility from your studies, right?
No, this is like, ghosts are creatures of subtlety, but sometimes they like to express themselves.
And it's like, okay, this one seems to have like a more refined taste, but I guess we are in the rich town, so it makes sense that we've got a pretentious ghost or whatever, right? And as the music changes, it turns into a violin. As I say, lyre then violin. And then the notes change, and you're like, wait a minute. I know this song from somewhere. And you can't quite picture where. It feels really familiar. And then you make the connection. So, you've summoned demons before, right?
Uh-huh.
And summoning demons is a weird thing where, like, summoning ghosts is like you attune yourself to the spirit realm, and depending on how thick the veil is at that area, it's easier or harder, and you use materials to empower yourself, and then you've just kind of done it. But with demons, they're not in the spirit realm, right? They're in Inferno. They're in a different realm.
Right.
And so you need something to bridge the gap, and you need something that connects with them. You need some sort of item that has a resonance with that particular demon. And when you summoned Sitara, you summoned her with sheet music. Because she's a big fan of classical music. And this, what is being played, is the music sheet that you burned to summon Sitara the demon once upon a time. That's the first revelation you have.
That we're not dealing with ghosts, that we're dealing with demons.
Could be both. Demons certainly have the power to make ghosts around. And then the second thing you have is, like, right after you have that moment of, like, I know this music, the circle, like, sparks, and you get that sort of, there's that moment when the circle is complete and you've empowered it, and you figure out how thick or thin the veil is, right? A thinner veil means it's easier to connect with the ghost realm, and that ghosts have more power in a given area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you immediately figure out that this is a fairly powerful area as far as the ghost veil connection, and that you can kind of tell by, like, the texture of the air that it didn't, that maybe it won't stay that way because it has gone this way in a hurry, right? Like, there have been events that made the veil thin very recently, and it's not hard to see what they were because there is, like, you can just, like, it's almost like you can taste the death. And I think you don't see any like active ghosts in the auditorium, but like you can sort of like see like psychic residue, a bunch of spots around the stage where people have died very recently. The crowd itself, where the audience area, has a couple, very few. The stage has a bunch. And then the doors to the auditorium slam shut. And you hear the clicking sound again.
Hey, should I stay up here? Should I just keep doing this?
I think you better get ready for a fight, because we're not just dealing with ghosts here.
Oh, shit. Okay. Kind of crack my knuckles a little bit. Like, okay. I'm just going to put this guitar down, and we'll take care of some things.
Why did you stop playing? A person steps out from backstage. You didn't hear the door open, and you're not seeing it close, but from where the doors were, a person has stepped through. You were playing so beautifully. Why did you stop? It is not super tall. I would say like 5'9", but like very thin, gaunt man with thick round glasses. He's wearing a black shirt and some very dark brown pants. It is the garb of someone who works for a living, but is also clearly well off. So they're wearing clothes that are practical and won't get dirty, but they're also very well made. And they have very thin, spindly fingers. And they are just sort of gradually walking out from the back, with eyes fairly wide, very pale face, just staring at you, Scully. It's been a while since I've heard such lovely music around here, with everyone avoiding the theater. It was so nice to hear it. Won't you play more?
I'm sorry, were you the one who called us here? We were summoned here to take care of a problem.
No, I'm just one of the chiefs of the stagehands. It wasn't me.
I see. Could you better explain what's been going on around here? We're kind of in the dark as it is.
I can turn up the lights then, if you wish.
I guess that would be a start, yeah.
He lifts a hand, and the lights get brighter.
Huh. When we looked around, we couldn't really find anyone else. We found a locked door, but... Huh.
Yeah, sorry, I was backstage. There's so much work to be done getting this place back up to shape. Well, as you can see, it's been fairly quiet around here. A lot of beautiful artists that are now insisting that the place is haunted. It's terrible news for us. There have been a few accidents, to be certain, but that's no reason to stop the music. Why do people live? You, the music you played just now. That was music that came from your life, that came from your experience. You express yourself and you connect with others. That's worth a little unsafety. To connect.
I suppose so, but the music that I was playing wasn't exactly my own. It sort of came out of nowhere.
That is a wonderful thing. Then you were connecting on a level you haven't before. Imagine playing and someone else's music comes out. That's a connection so deep you don't even understand. What a gift.
I suppose so. Anything...
Apologies. Where are my manners? My name is Dietrich. What are your names?
And I'm kind of looking over to Meyer to make sure it's okay to... Okay, yeah. I'm Scully, and my friend over there is Meyer.
Meyer Scora, then, I assume. I've heard of you.
What have you heard?
Oh, My lady says that you're very dedicated to your craft. Very curious-minded individual. She said she'd been looking forward to seeing you again.
Okay.
I don't think she's here right now. I could try and get her.
I'd rather you didn't.
Oh, she'll be terribly disappointed by that, but I suppose it can wait. We have plenty of time. Won't you come have a seat? We can get you something to drink, or just let you have some rest. I know you must have come a long way. The trip into White Crown for outsiders is a bit stressful with all the paperwork and the policing that happens. You must be very tired.
I think we're doing okay so far, but it's... Yeah, I think we got in just fine.
Okay. Well, if you don't need anything from me, I mean, I understand that you would like a little time, and that's no problem. I'll head back into the back, and you let me know if I can help with anything. Just, you know, knock 3 times, and I will come.
We'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
And he turns around and grabs the handle of the door. And he pulls it open in a weird sort of jerky motion and, like, flows. It's like one motion. He pulls it open, slides through, and shuts it. It looks very alien.
Okay.
How much are we getting paid for this again?
Not enough.
Yeah, that's what
they've been doing, summoning demons here.
I don't know what to say. I wasn't the one... I technically was the one playing the instrument, but not those notes, so... I think that's enough guitar for today. Unless you want to, like, create a different, like, demon-shaped summoning circle. I don't know.
Do you think so little of what I do?
I'm still getting new to this. It's
for what it's worth. This is just a thought that occurs to you. I'm not telling you to do it at all. That's not what I'm here for.
Uh-huh.
But you had to burn sheet music last time to summon Sitara. But given that this guitar just played her song, it probably would have enough of a connection. I want to say again, because I say something is possible is by no means me saying it's a good idea.
We have to come back a little bit more prepared.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Assuming that we haven't been locked in here or anything.
I pull out a book and I start flipping through and trying to basically classify, like, I want to research basically the type of demon that we're dealing with here.
Okay. So this is one that Sitara, you were able to contact because there has been a lot of recent writing. A lot of times writing about demons is sort of like stuff that's like very old text, right? And it is informative because there's a lot of history, but it also makes it hard to like account for the fact that demons are living creatures and they change over time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the writing about Sitara and demons like Sitara is very recent because they were only recently reclassified as demons. Because for a long time they were called muses. You can summon them up and they help give you inspiration. They help make you make art again. And for a while it was like, you know, there's a bit of a cost, but it's a wonderful thing. And people didn't think that much more about it. And then scholars started being like, so wait, what happens to people who make these deals? And after, because for some reason, people who had made these deals weren't particularly good about documenting the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
They often created great works, but what happened to those people? Who knows? And scholars started being like, wait, this smells kind of fishy. Let's do the homework. And yeah, these are definitely demons. they will help you make art. You probably don't want to pay the price.
Right. So I would like to use one of my special abilities.
Okay.
I would like to summon a ghost of a recently deceased and speak with them.
Sure, sure. You're compelled, of yes. course.
Like I want to, since I noticed that there's been a lot of death here recently, I want to talk to like the ghost of a recently deceased and see what, get a clearer picture as to what is going on.
Sure. I think, this is for you, the player. This has become a desperate position, but this is great effect.
Okay.
You have created your magic circle. The veil is in here. There are a lot of ghosts to summon up who are very current. So if this works, it'll work really well. But if it goes bad, it could go very bad.
Do I announce I'm pushing myself before or after the action?
Generally, I would say you announce it before. There will be times when I make exceptions, right? I think the rule is you announce it before, but sometimes I may take pity on you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But in this instance, I would prefer if you announced it before. So
yeah, I'm going to push myself and use my abilities to summon a recently deceased ghost.
Okay, 3d6.
Oh,
five.
I got a
okay.
five anyway. Let me roll one more just to make sure I don't crit it. Okay. It would have been a 5, 3, and a 3, so a 5.
Okay. So unfortunately, because it's desperate, you still suffer a consequence, right?
Right.
So I think you call up a ghost. You sort of, and it's, I think, honestly, you have this moment where you're getting ready to do a much more involved, like, circle and stuff, and you're like, wait, the veil is so thin, these ghosts are so recent, that you literally just, like, lick a finger, put it up to your mouth, and whistle, and you get a ghost. It's that easy for you here.
Yeah.
And, like manifesting is the, spirit of what you can immediately tell this is a stagehand.
Perfect.
It's also not very hard to tell the cause of death, because they are just like, they're soaked through with blood from the neck on down. They sort of have a dazed look and they're sort of staring off into space. Scully,
yeah.
I'm going to need you. You are going to take the level 1 harm disturbed, or you can roll to resist. Because you've seen some ghosts, but I think mostly, like, with Meyer, the ghosts you've seen have not been, like, particularly, like, grisly. And this one is, like, you know, I as the GM am not interested in describing really grotesque images, but, like, this ghost is very upsetting looking.
Okay, is there any consequence if I rolled to avoid risk?
Just that it costs stress.
Okay. Like 2 stress or something?
So what happens is you roll, and you, let me double check exactly how this works. So you will resist it no matter what, basically. You will not take the harm. But how much stress you take depends on your roll.
Oh, okay.
So, let's see. In your case, this is a resolve. You would roll 2d6 if you wanted to do this.
Click resolve.
Okay. Oh, like that. Okay.
No bonus dice.
No bonus dice.
Oof. Okay, I got a 1 and a 1.
Okay, you take 5 stress.
Ouch.
And I think to illustrate that? Like, how are you trying to resist? Are you trying to, like, contextualize this within, like, other ghosts you've seen before or something?
I think I'm trying to think about it in terms of just, like, okay, it's just, like, that wound isn't real. This is just a ghost. This is just what the ghost is showing me. So, this isn't something that I'm actually, like, I'm saying to myself, this isn't something that is real per se. Like, the ghost may be real, but the wound isn't real. It's, I'm kind of dissociating myself from seeing a wound like that. So we're like, oh yeah, we're to theater. It's costume.
And I think, like, to represent the stress, the reason this goes so bad is you do manage to avoid being disturbed. Like, you manage to sort of get it under control, but you're sort of like, you're trying to convince yourself, like, oh, these wounds aren't real anymore. Like, they happen, but, like, whatever. And then just for a moment, you get a really vivid image of yourself with those wounds. And it's just, like, it's a very upsetting image for you to have for a moment there.
Okay. Meyer, could you get your conversation over with this ghost and then just send it the fuck away? I don't want to see this.
Don't be rude to our guest.
Technically, we're their guest, aren't we?
Now's not the time for semantics.
Okay, just get on with it.
I'm working, and you're keeping me from getting on with it.
The ghost is just staring off into space.
What is your name?
Oh. You're talking to me.
Yes.
Oh, my name is Riven.
Hello, Riven.
The sequel to Myst. Sorry, even when I'm doing, like, pseudo-horror, I can't avoid being a gremlin.
Cut the tension a little bit. All right. It's Riven.
Yes.
My name is Meyer.
Meyer.
Tell me.
Like the lemon.
Sure. Tell me. What happened to you?
They're like blinking as though the question is like hard for them to process. I think I died. Yes. Yes, I'm dead. I was killed.
By what?
Oh, that is one of those questions, friend. You know, so many things. Society, perhaps. But I know it is very easy in my state, with all the time that I have, to get philosophical. It seems like perhaps you want a more concrete answer. I am not sure whether it is fair to blame Dietrich. I certainly agreed with the plan. I don't think either of us understood exactly what we were signing up for, but yes, I suppose I would say partially Dietrich, partially myself. Have you... You wouldn't know Dietrich. He is one of the chiefs of the stagehands around here. He's a very serious man.
We met briefly.
Then he is alive. That is good to hear. I was worried, you know, with the way things went. This theater, it is such a beautiful dream to think that we could open a theater here. Sort of looks around distantly and the eyes unfocus again. It was our dream. And keeping it alive, we do whatever it took. Whatever. I think this is partially you, Meyer, know that because this is such a new ghost, that, like, ghosts have, like, the etherealness is not just a body, it's a mind, and over time ghosts get used to it, but newer ghosts have some trouble focusing.
Right. So that's why you got to be more pointed and direct.
The lighting is strange in here. Are we expecting performers?
What were you trying to do? Tell me about the dream.
The dream. We were just regular performers running our shows. We would get various acts coming through over in the crow's nest. And then one day, a noble came through and was enamored with our performance. They said that we were destined for greater things. They said they would help us open a theater here in Whitechapel. And it was such a blessing. It was such an incredible opportunity. But then, we opened a bit too soon, I suppose. Money was growing thin. It turns out the generous offer of our patron was incredible, but this place is so expensive. We needed to open sooner than we thought, and there was an accident, and someone got hurt. And then there started to be more accidents, and we didn't know what to do. We were running everything right. We were the consummate professionals. And we couldn't let the dream just die. And then Dietrich had an idea. If we had these problems from otherworldly beings, well, it's like sending a mongoose to hunt a snake, isn't it? You just summon another being to deal with that one.
What did you end up summoning?
A lady. I don't know the details very well. That was more... Dietrich had the specifics of the plan. I am not as knowledgeable about the supernatural, despite the lights are so strange. The ghost lifts a hand and the lights change to sort of just be general lighting. It's like, that's much better. May I go?
Yes, you may go.
Thank you. I think I'll go check on the rigging.
Okay. You go do that.
The ghost fades away.
Well, great.
Should we go confront Dietrich again regarding this, since he seems to be the source of these problems?
Look, Sully, I'm not much of a fighter, but I do think we're gonna have to deal with two demons here.
The demon of capitalism and the demon
of society.
Yeah, two demons, that kind of seems like a lot, huh? What should we end up doing then?
I get the feeling that our presence here isn't going to be appreciated for much longer.
So what are we going to tell our client here whenever we happen to see them? I guess we haven't seen them yet, so we might just be dealing with the messenger again, but... Well, I guess we could say we gave them a report.
We're going to need a crew.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty fair to say. Let's get out of here so we can find a crew, and also just because I do not want to be in here much longer.
Okay.
Or we could just light the place on fire and be
done
with it.
How about we don't light the place on fire? Hey, Sully? Scully? Look at me? We don't set clients... places on fire. We tried that already. That doesn't help.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess we don't need to jump to fire immediately. We can leave that for later.
Yes, we will table the fire.
Meyer?
Yes.
There's some magic happening in the back.
Okay,
you
great.
You can sort of feel it resonating.
What kind of magic?
Eh, you'd have to get closer to know that.
I'd rather not. I'd rather come back a little bit more prepared.
Gain a few levels, go fight some rats, and, you know.
Beat up a couple rats, level up a few times, then come back to deal with what is quite possibly a double demon situation.
Well, I am as ever your humble servant. Just let me know what you want to do, and I'll tell you how that goes.
Well, we're going to try and leave, although I get the feeling it's not going to be that easy.
Yeah, the doors are pretty locked.
Great.
Okay, so leaving's out of the question. We could try... Well, we could see if there's a exit out the back, or we could just storm them while they're still preparing and see if we can get the edge of... see if we can get the edge on them, like an advantage.
Okay. I guess I don't have much choice but to, like... So, somebody's casting some more magic, huh?
Yeah, I guess that's... that. I mean, magic is happening, for sure. It's probably someone casting it. It could be, like, a magical item of some sort, but that's pretty... For one to operate without someone else operating it specifically would be pretty unusual. Not impossible, but...
I guess we'll have to go and investigate that.
I do want to, you know, if you have other ideas, I'm here for, like, the doors are locked, I set that up specifically, but if you have other ideas, I'm not trying to railroad you.
What if we tried to break down the doors?
Or we seek an alternate exit.
Yeah, I guess we could look around the back more, see if there's, like, an emergency exit or a fire escape or something.
That would be a roll.
Should we do it?
I'm going to look around and look for an alternate exit.
Okay, that's a study. What's risky standard with the understanding that the risk is not in the room right now. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
2 and a 3.
Okay. You find it. Oh. You go on, you go back onto the stage, and you're like, oh, there's like, they have an apparatus for if you wanted to, like, raise someone from below stage up onto it. And you go and you check it out. Like, you sort of, like, pop your head down there, and there's a tunnel. It's not a super comfortable fit, but it looks like, I mean, like, you can feel air going through it. So it comes out somewhere. And it seems like it's a service access or exit or something. And then you hear a little bit of a snap. Like it's a weird sound, right? It sounds like a twig breaking. And then a little bit of a pop. And you're like, oh, that's a fire. As a GM, thank you for the idea.
Oh, looks like I didn't have to light a fire at all. It's already here. Let's get the fuck out.
Yeah, okay.
Is the fire coming from the tunnel, or is it backstage?
No, it's coming from the lobby.
Oh, okay, yeah, let's get through that tunnel and get the hell out of here.
Okay.
You drop into the tunnel, and I think especially for Scully, it's not a very comfortable fit, right?
Yeah, it's...
It's a little claustrophobic, but you can do it, and, you know, the alternative appears to be either fighting a mage demon, or standing in fire, so...
Caught between a rock and a hard place.
Two rocks, actually.
Yeah.
And so you squeeze your way through, and the tunnel then sort of widens out, and it stops, and there's like a wooden panel, but it's clearly like it doesn't even a moment, like you just sort of push on it and it just falls over, and it reveals it's like a swing door, but it like, as you step through, you look back on it, and it just looks like a wall. It looks like basically like a secret passage, right? And as you step out, and you step onto like hard marble floor. Your steps like echo the moment you touch them, because this whole hallway is very faintly lit by some sort of like not even electric lighting, like some sort of like glowing gems in sconces. And the floor is like very hard marble, very, very echoey, very empty.
You know, we were right next to Parliament. Maybe this is Parliament?
Okay, sure. That's a theory. So, we're surrounded by marble?
I mean, it's a long, narrow hallway that you're in, and the walls and the floor and stuff are made out of marble, yes.
Well, let's keep going.
Okay, as you're going, there start to be sort of doors on the left and right that you can try if you want to, or you can keep going down the hall.
I say we keep going down the hall.
Is there anything special about the doors?
I mean, not looking at them. They're doors.
I would say, like, since we're looking for an exit, it would be best to, like, well, open these doors. See where they go.
So as you open them, you figure out very quickly where you are. You are in the parliamentary library. Every time you open a door, there are just like, it's just like wall to wall, like books and paperwork, a lot of it under like protection and Glockenkey. And this is a place that the rich of this town are very, very protective about like rare tomes and knowledge, right? To the point that getting into the Library of Parliament is... It would be misleading to call it a privilege. It would be more accurate to say it doesn't happen. Like, you have to be either a member of Parliament, or you have to have, like, a special note from a member of Parliament, which they are very hesitant to give out, to get in here.
You want to go peek at some books?
Oh, shall we? Shall we be naughty? Shall we peek at the books? Scully, do you hear yourself? Of course we'll look at the books.
What interests you? Is there like a section you want to look at? Whatever you say, I'm going to make you roll, because you don't, like, they are using some, like fantasy Dewey decimal system or something, but you don't know how this works. So you're, all depending on how well you roll is how, like, close to what you want to find you'll find. But, you know, your intent does matter here.
I guess I don't really know what we should look up, unless we want to look up, like, ghosts. Or shit like that.
Well, there's always been a relationship between, like, the super rich and the demonic. So I'm always curious about what their views on the occult are.
Giving you a peek behind the curtain here, the kind of tomes they have here, it's not just like, oh, this is an interesting read, right? Like, theoretically, you could get a new character power here if you found the right book.
Oh.
These are magical texts that have interesting properties. And, it's not like if you roll and I tell you, oh, you find a book that's interesting politics, you shouldn't be like, damn, I guess we failed the roll. But I'm just saying, you can be a little bit imaginative because these are the wildest books in the world.
Okay, in that case, I want to look up a book on pugilism.
Okay. All right, sounds good.
Like ancient fighting techniques?
Yeah.
If you want to roll for that, it's just a fortune roll. It's 1d... Well, you know what? Actually, it's a study roll, which is 1d6 for you. Meyer, whatever you want to find would also be a study.
Is this risky, control, desperate, or something?
This is fortune, which means that you just... Yeah, you just roll it.
I got a 3.
Okay. And then, Meyer?
What do you want to find? I want to learn about, like, some forbidden rituals.
Okay. That sounds great. Why don't you roll 2d6 fortune for me?
I got a 1 4. 4.
Okay. So I think, Scully's is a failure, so it doesn't go very well, and Myers is a mixed success. So Scully, I think you are sort of like, you're going through and there's like stuff on like martial techniques and stuff, and you find a really fascinating book, right? And this book is on like a martial arts style you've never heard of before that like has these like incredible, like these like grappling techniques and stuff. And it's like, it looks amazing. Obviously it's very strong. And then the thing that is the downside, and it makes it still a really fascinating read. And if you want to take it with you, you should. It might be worth something and it might be useful in the future. Is it requires you to have 4 arms and you don't.
Oh, damn. I guess I need to grow 2 more if this is going to be any help, but...
And it seems like in the illustrations, it's kind of hard to tell, but it seems like... It doesn't seem like it's a person with 4 arms. It seems like it's a person who has, like either, like, ghost arms or, like, a pair of extra prosthetics or something. It seems like this isn't a different race of person, right?
Okay, so it's something that I could potentially... get to at some point.
Maybe. Or maybe this text is so old and the art of whatever this is just completely dead. But it's a cool book. It's like, what if Krav Maga for 4 arms, right?
Yeah.
Like, damn, that's sick.
Yeah.
Alright, I'll just stick this in my knapsack and I'm good to go.
Can you remind me again of what yours was, Meyer? I'm sorry.
I got a 4.
Right, what you were looking for.
Ancient rituals.
Ancient rituals, yes.
The good shit. I go straight good. For the good shit.
I think you find that a lot of them are, like, behind, like, lock and key in a way that you can't get out. Like, you find the good stuff, right? And it's, like, they're, like, chained down in such a way that you can't get at them, right? And it's like, God damn it. The good stuff is right here, but these are really good locks. Presumably, this is the sort of stuff where, like, even if you're a visitor who's accepted by a member of parliament, you can't get at. Only directly members of parliament could see this stuff. But what you do find is a book that you're flipping through, and there's like a cross reference. There's like, you find next to those, there's a list of like books that are sort of like similar, And it says that there's one in a completely different area. And it's like, oh, that's odd. And you go, and it's in the middle of a series of texts about, like, parliamentary procedure that are completely unsecured. And there's a book there that's called, like Convocation of the Advisors.
Huh. I'll definitely hold on to this.
Okay.
Do I start, like, paging through it, like, now, or...
If you want to, it's up to you.
Well, we're still trying to escape a situation. So, mm-hmm. I just think, okay, this looks interesting, stuff it in my bag, and, like, okay, let's get out of here.
Okay.
Good idea.
And you start heading back down the hall, and you run into sort of a big, like, a room that widens up, and you realize that, basically, you were down, like, one of four, like, spokes that come off of a central hub, basically. And, in the center, there is a big circular desk. And there is a individual sitting behind it. It is, a person with, like a bit of a cloak up. And you can tell that they have a little bit of, like, a lower, like, face mask. It appears to be made of, like, porcelain.
Mm-hmm.
They're up, and you can see, like, a little bit of, like, their nose and their lower cheeks, but then the hood of the cloak covers, like, above that. And they are sitting there with their hands clasped at the desk, and they say, "Ah, I did not see you come in. Welcome to the Library of Parliament. How may I assist you?"
"We were just on our way out."
"I see. And where did you come from?"
We came...
Please. You do have the look of perhaps thieves or brigands, but I am a librarian. It is my job to watch the books. It is not my job to deal with security. Whatever your story is, it is an interesting addition to the history of these halls.
So, there was, there's a theater that's right next to this building, and...
Ah, yes, the Parliament.
Exactly, that one. And as it turns out, they have a little, they have a escape hatch into this building, if things go bad. And things have definitely gone bad, so here we are.
Gone bad. Interesting.
We would, however, like to check out a book. Is that possible?
I am not allowed to loan books to anyone who is not an official visitor. However, it is merely my job to direct people. It is not my job to search their possessions for any books they may or may not have taken.
Understood.
You smell of spirits, and I don't mean alcohol.
Yeah, that's basically the trouble we were referring to.
You've met with the advisors, then.
Who
the voice seems a little uncertain.
The advisors?
You had me scared for a moment. Never mind, I was mistaken. Is there anything else I can help you with?
Just the exit.
Just behind me there. And they point without looking, and there is a pair of double doors. It will lead to a staircase up, which leads to the outside. Be careful shutting the door on your way out. It will lock automatically, and if you are not careful with the timing, it is possible to be locked out with any possessions you have left behind.
Understood. We'll be careful.
These spirits you've been dealing with,
mm-hmm.
They're in the theater, you're saying?
Yeah, like, there's at least there's a decent amount of stuff happening in that theater right now, and none of it is very good.
Understood. We will see the theater destroyed.
You might not have to work very hard on that one.
Oh, you are thorough then. That is excellent.
Not us.
Hmm. Do you have a business card?
I should really look into getting those.
Well, regardless, thank you for visiting the Library of Parliament and have a pleasant day.
Thank you. We leave.
All right. Sounds good. You head out the double doors and there's a set of stairs up, and you head through. There's like some like barred doors and you push them open and they click shut behind you. Next to you, the theater is just engulfed in fire. And there are like firefighters who are rushing to try and deal with the fire. And there is a lone figure standing out front and glances your way, and it's Dietrich. Dietrich gives a little nod and disappears into the crowd.
All right, then. What do you say we fast walk out of here? Let's get back to where we... Let's get back to our base of operations.
I agree.
Where is your base of operations there? You just go to the inn? The tavern, I mean?
Yeah, I was thinking
because
tavern.
I need a drink.
I need a big burger.
I think you get back to the tavern, and Scully, your mom, is there behind the bar. I don't know where your dad is right now. We can talk about that later. I don't wanna presume too much about your family. But your mom is manning the bar. And she says, Scully, message came for you while you were gone. Envelope dropped off here for you.
Oh, great. Thanks, Ma.
And she passes you, your drinks of... What do you two drink? I know, Scully, I think she does have a burger ready for you. She just always knows to have a burger ready whenever you get back from a job.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd say mine's like a... I'd say since this is a place where my parents work and stuff, mine's probably a very simple and expensive sort of lager going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'd feel bad about drinking anything too expensive.
Yeah. And Meyer's like Appletini, right?
I was going to say cheap wine, but sure.
No, I was teasing you.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Like they drink like wine. It doesn't have to be the finest wine. It just has to be wine. Red preferred.
And you sit down and you open the envelope and there is pay for the job.
I guess we did it right?
And there is a note. There's also a sealed envelope that's sealed with wax. And the seal is just like the letter S in wax on the back of the envelope.
Okay. Let's open her up and see what it says.
It is a very cute, there's no text. There is a very cute, like almost like chibi style drawing of like a lady with like, sort of like, curly black hair. And, she's got like her eyes closed and like a smile and she's giving a little bit of a peace sign. And she has a pair of horns jutting out of her forehead. It is like a chibi drawing of Sitara.
Huh. Did we just take a job from a demon?
I sip again.
My, you're supposed to know this stuff better than I do. But that's That's a signature of a demon, right?
Unfortunately, a very specific demon, but sure.
Well, I guess since they it doesn't have any more instructions or any further information, we can just take the money and pretend this never happened. What do you say?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I'm distracted. I'm flipping through the book about the book that I've taken from the Parliament Library.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was all a fucked up situation, but I'll be damned if I don't get, like, something positive out of it, which is this book.
So this book appears to be a series of, like, rituals and descriptions, and not just, like, how to summon, but, like, then, like, how to behave, like, the way to address what you summon. For someone called the Advisors, some group or individuals, and it becomes clear reading the book that, like, this is, like, it's somewhere between, like, a ghost summoning and a demon summoning ritual, but when you summon the person, you should basically treat them like you've summoned a king. You need to be, like, incredibly respectful, you need to watch your language very carefully, you need to say your pleas and your sirs, and if you do all of this right, they will help you with your problems. They will offer you wisdom. They will advise you.
And I have clearly never heard of the Advisors before.
No. No.
Hmm. Scully?
Yeah?
I think this job was very, very good for us.
All right. Glad to hear it, because when I saw that, when I realized it was the same, well, it seemed like that demon you were messing with earlier, so I'm glad you got something out of it.
One of the town guard, the blue coats, strolls in. They are not well loved. They are not good people. And strolls up to sort of like the town like announcement board and pins two pieces of paper and then strolls out. Like shoves someone out of the way.
Okay. Wonder who they're putting up this time. Let's go take a look.
There appear to be some hastily drawn renditions of you two with the label wanted for arson.
Oh, what were you saying earlier about this job being great for us?
Well, they didn't get the likeness right at all. I have black eyes, for one.
We told that librarian, right? We told that librarian it was just like, it was just some ghosts that did it. Or some demons, or some demon ghosts. It shouldn't be us here. Why is it us here? Why are we on this thing?
I think because we were meddling in things that... I think we're meddling in things that are much deeper than just simple demon summonings here.
Is it because of that book?
I think it's because of this book, very much so.
Well, for now, I'm not gonna make these guards' lives easier, so I'm just gonna rip our wanted posters off this fucking board.
You pull one off, and like a drunk bounty hunter says, "Hey, I was reading that." Kids these days, no respect for their. Wait, are you older than? Are you? No respect for their elders.
Maya refuses to answer that question.
Yeah, yeah. We get it, Granddad.
And I think the camera zooms out, right? It gets sort of like goes through a window. And we get sitting on a rooftop, looking through the window at you, Sitara. And she's sort of like, she's like got her legs crossed and is like bouncing them playfully. She's having a great time, just sort of watching what's going down. And she looks down at another piece of paper. And she says, you know, maybe it would be good to get in contact with my friend again. And she sort of, like, she hops off and, like, she sort of hops down towards the camera, and then the camera pans to catch up with her and she's gone. Meanwhile, in the Library of Parliament, the librarian is going through checking on the books and goes and sees that the convocation of the advisors is gone, walks back to their desk, pulls out another copy of it, and just slots it in its place like nothing ever happened. And for now, that's that.
Oh, that was awesome.
I'm glad you had fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to continuing this. I think we're having a good setup for a weird little political ghost mystery. Spoilers, folks. Turns out, I gave this, before we even started, I gave this campaign a name, and it's called The Ghosts of Parliament, so... But this is Scanline Media patron show, and so you already know everything about us. Thank you so much for your support. I hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll be back with more of this, I hope, very soon, and then also Starsong will be back.
Yeah, like we said at the top, scheduling is fucked up right now, but we'll make stuff happen.
And it's honestly, I'm not glad that scheduling is fucked up, but I am glad that we're now going to have, like, alternating options for when scheduling is different or when we just want to do something that's totally a little different.
Yeah.
But until next time, folks, peace out.
See ya.
Later.